On the line, I want to bring in Randy Mell, senior writer with GolfChannel.com. Randy, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be back. Pat, how you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. Hey, obviously, Randy, you know, even though the PGA Tour is back in swing, you know, this week, as all the tours are, I think the focus is still, or the talk is still about last week's finish and just everything dealing with U.S. Open. First off, give me your impressions about Lucas Glover winning this. Is that big news, or is it bigger news that David Duval was able to be competitive, that Tiger, you know, got the bad part of the draw and ended up having to battle back from 14 shots back at one point to at least get on the leaderboard? Give me the story of this U.S. Open.
Yeah, you know, there's kind of two angles to it, Pat. I think people who are really inside golf, who already knew Lucas and know how hard he works and what kind of guy he is, they're happy for him, but there's millions of other people, mainstreamers, who were probably disappointed that he ruined one of the all-time stories with Mickelson, had Mickelson been able to win, or even David Duval. Those were really amazing kinds of stories that were being scripted and looked like they had a chance to come true. And but Glover came in, and he was a worthy champion, and he played best. He played best in the final round. He was the best player at the U.S. Open, but he wasn't the best story.
What was the best story? Mickelson's comeback? Duval's comeback?
Yeah, I think both of those. And for me, it would have been hard to weigh which is the better story. We debated about that in the press room, because Mickelson obviously would have been one of the all-time great U.S. Open stories. He would have been there with Tiger's win last year. He'd have been there with Hogan coming back from the car crash, Venturi, you know, limping his way home in the heat. He would have been with the all-time great stories, Francis Ouimet. But Duval, to me, it would have been fascinating to listen to Duval. Had Duval won because of everything he's gone through, and being a former number one, and we all remember when he won the British Open, and he said, "Is that all there is?" And then his life changes, and he marries, and he has a family. And now I think the ultimate dream for David Duval would be to have his kids run out onto the 18th green and celebrate a victory with him. That's, I think, really the vision he has. And is that all there is? You know, I think for him that would be the best of it, to have his children run out there. And I would have liked to have just heard what came out of him had he won in a situation like that. So those two stories would have been fascinating, but you know, golf is whoever gets the lowest score wins, and Glover played best.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me. Phil had the tournament in his hands, and I guess, is it out of just pure deference and respect to what that family is going through? I mean, when he blew the open at Wingfoot, the press ripped him. Now, he pretty much blew the open, and he's now, what, his second place finish in the Open. I haven't heard any real criticism of his finish this time around. Is it a cognizant decision by the press to lay off him?
I think there is. You're right, definitely some deference there to the family situation, because he didn't have his normal preparation. And the fact that Amy's going through breast cancer and that's on his mind, it was sort of amazing and wonderful that he had even got himself in position. So I think, yeah, you're exactly right in that. It's hard to be hard on a guy who's going through something more important than golf. But without that, yeah, Phil probably would have gotten hammered again for getting himself in position and blowing it, missing too many short putts and squandering a chance. But yeah, you're right. There's just more important things going on in Phil's life.
Pat Rooney, Peter Bernhardt, joined by Randy Mell, senior writer for GolfChannel.com, here on the Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. Randy, talk about one of the stories that I really liked was that when they do the trophy presentation to Lucas Glover, the guy that comes in second gets a medal, and because there were three guys tied for second, Duval, Phil, and who was the third? I'm blanking on it now. Ricky Barnes. They basically were trying, because there's only one second place medal, so they were trying to figure out who to give it to. And so I guess Ricky says, well, give it to the older guy, who was Phil. And Phil basically said, I've already got four, so you guys can keep one of them. I thought that was a great story.
Nobody wants it, right? that was funny. Phil's got a collection of them, and that's not the one he wanted. Amy had, he had said in his press conference going into that week that Amy had asked for him to bring the silver trophy home so she could have it in her hospital room, and what a photo that would have been.
Hey, Randy, talking about Phil and David, and did they blow this or what? The thing I concentrate more with David Duval is, he had a horrendous start. He hit a ball basically in the lip of a bunker, couldn't get the thing out, ended up taking a triple bogey on the hole. And normally, not just with David Duval, but probably 90% of the golfers out there would just throw in the towel at that point. They just figure, the golf gods are against them that day or whatever. But Duval, in particular, has had a, since the British Open, 7, 8, 9 years ago, has had a string of where you would look at his rounds, and he didn't play too poorly, but he'd always have one or two. I talk with this about to Russ a lot. He always seems to have one or two holes where he has like a triple bogey or a quadruple bogey and just, shoots 75 or something and just kills himself. Well, that happened right off the bat in round four. And I really got to give him credit. He hung in there. Birdie's 15, which nobody did. Has a horrible lip out on 17 that would have kept him, I think, within one shot of the lead. And was able to really, keep his head about him and take something positive from this instead of, really bemoaning the fact that he did get a couple bad breaks out there.
Yeah, I think there's the experience of knowing in a major championship that everyone's going to have a bad hole or struggle, although when you make a triple, you don't expect that you're going to win. But, he's gone through so much, and I think, it helped him to have endured what he's endured and to know that major championships, people will come back. They'll come back to you. But, yeah, David, it's still kind of a mystery as to, what all went into why he faded and kind of lost it. He's had so many theories about, just maybe the loss of the will, where he talked about that the British Open victory is without all there is, so maybe the determination wasn't there, the weight loss, injuries, the back, swing changes. I think they probably all were factors, but I had a chance to talk to Puggy Blackman, his college coach from Georgia Tech, and who still works with him and was at the U.S. Open working with the swing, and he said that they've talked a lot the last month or so about, hey, David, your swing is there now. It may not be like the swing you had when you were number one, but it's there. It's a swing you can win with. Just go out now and play golf, and I think that's what he's doing, and we'll see. He has said before he felt like he was turning a corner, and then there'd just be a string of missed cuts, but I think he has found something now.
His mental coach is Bob Rotella. And Bob reported, I don't remember who it was, somebody asked him before the Open, which of your players, and he has a whole gaggle of players that he works with, which of your players is most mentally prepared for the Open? And his response was David Duval. So he's made some big strides, clearly, by the way. That was, you mentioned the triple bogey on Monday, but he had a number of rounds where he had bogeys and then came back and made a bunch of birdies. I think he probably had more birdies than any other player on his card at the event.
Yeah, he had some wild-looking scorecards. But I was talking to Rotella before the tournament, too, and I was talking to Bob about Padraig Harrington, and Bob, out of the blue, raises David Duval's name. So, yeah, he did see and hear something from David that led him to believe that he was ready for a breakthrough.
Pat Rooney, Peter Bernhard, joined by Randy Mell, senior writer for GolfChannel.com here on the Honda Classic, or the Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. I almost got through 20 minutes before I said that. Randy, Peter and I were talking a little bit in the first segment about, the venue, having it at Bethpage, second time in 7 years, and the likelihood that we are not going to see another U.S. Open in the New York metropolitan area anytime soon. Wingfoot passed, I think, on the 2015 U.S. Open. So it doesn't seem like, you know, Shinnecock after the 2004 and the greens and all this situation they were having with them, that maybe the USGA wants to go back there. What are your thoughts on the New York area as a venue and the possibility of it coming back there anytime soon?
Yeah, I think I saw there where it's not possible till at least 2017. And the other thing about Bethpage is I really like the look of that course. It just has a big, brawny, beautiful look to it. And the way it plays, I like when it plays right. But the last two U.S. Opens, both of them that have been there, we've never really seen it, been able to see it play the way it's supposed to play. And it's disappointing. So I remember standing on the fourth tee looking down the fairway and thinking, boy, if the sheep burrowed the bunkers at St. Andrews, they must have had woolly mammoths burrowing the bunkers here, because they're just these huge bunkers and the greens are large. Everything about it is just big, and I really do like it as a venue, and the atmosphere is so supercharged and different, and it makes it a lot of fun. But I tell you what, the rain, the muck, and the mud in the end that wore you out and kind of overshadowed it. So, you know, I don't know how that will weigh in the minds of the USGA, but it certainly did take a lot of fun out of it.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to imagine, but it's true. As far as the U.S. Open and the New York area goes, the weather has just plagued it. They can't get a good weather that week, and you don't think of New York in bad weather. You think of, you know, Pebble. And California you've always got rain out of Pebble. Historically, they've had bad weather during the Open in the New York area.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain that either. And really, if the USGA will dismiss it as just kind of a flukish timing, or if there's something to be avoided there.
All right, Randy, last question for me. We appreciate your time today. We went through this whole segment, didn't even mention Tiger. Usually after he loses a major, there's a big dissection of what's wrong with him. Is he driving it poorly? Is he, you know, mentally something going on? Whatever. This time it seemed like he just got a bad draw. He was in that morning round on Thursday and then didn't really get to play at all on Friday. And you know, guys from that, you know, morning Thursday tee time group just weren't able to really do well. Is this just a case, because Tiger even said he was hitting the ball well, putts didn't go in for him, but there was no like major issues with the driver or anything else. It just seemed like Tiger was in an unfortunate position with the draw that he got.
Yeah, I talked to Patrick Harrington after the first couple rounds, and he was raving about the way Tiger was striking the ball. He said, you know, there's nothing wrong with his game. There's nothing wrong with it. He's got the game to win this week, and that draw did put him in a hole. And also, he played the last four holes of his first round and four over, and that really came back to haunt him. But he just dug himself too big a hole. But I think he's fine. You know, there's nothing to really worry about there with his game that I saw.
He is Randy Mehl. He's a senior writer for GolfChannel.com, and he's a frequent guest on our show. We really appreciate you coming on, Randy, and trying to help dissect this past week's U.S. Open. We'll talk to you again, Randy, down the road. Thanks again.
Okay, my pleasure. Take care, Pat.
All righty.
Thanks, Randy.